Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, now we're going live on YouTube.
Welcome you to be a part of this with us on our Zoom broadcast. We welcome you to join us on YouTube. Not on Facebook anymore, but thank God that Facebook helped us get a good start that we got.
Yes.
We're welcome. Now, tonight we're going to be reading the Word again, the program God gave us at the beginning of the year. We found some of these mic needs to be muted, though.
Hold on.
All right. Phyllis is fine.
Yep, got it.
We just wanted you to be welcome here. I remember there was a playlist that starts on January 1st. You see a picture of me with my headset on. Glad I got away from the headset. But we started on January 1st in Genesis 1, and we're reading through the whole Bible chronologically. It's an amazing study. About a half an hour most days, 20 minutes actually of most days. And I would encourage you, if you're coming in right now, to find the playlist. You can find it on our website. You can go to Sandra Mercado YouTube page and just click the playlist button. And when you do that, it'll show you all the different playlists we've created and what it says for each word. And you can start in Genesis, click that big play button. And it'll just play. You'll be able to go through the whole Bible. Very, very interesting, amazing study of the majestic Word of God. And we're right there. So, now we've got the children of Israel, Egypt, they rebelled, went through the period of the judges, and they said, we want a king. And God said, you really don't want a king. And they said, yes, we do. He gave him a king, and then they didn't want the king. And then God crowned David and made a promise to David that for all of eternity, one of David's descendants would sit on the throne. And God's been true to his promise. And Jesus was born of the tribe of Judah, David's lineage. And now the children of Israel have been absolutely, completely, horribly wicked to the point that God said, well, I'm going to put you in bondage. And now they're being held in bondage in Babylon. And that's why Ezekiel comes. Ezekiel is the major prophet of the Old Testament, like Isaiah, and Ezekiel was there to warn Israel of what was coming, and then also to make the promise to them from God that no matter what, God would forgive them if they would just humble their heart. And the keepers of Ezekiel is, I will take out that stony heart. I will give you a heart of flesh. And then I'm going to put my spirit in. Ezekiel prophesied that.
Yeah.
Ezekiel prophesied Ezekiel 37, 38, 9 is the prophecy of Russia being destroyed when they tried to come and take over Israel. And you can see that playing out right in front of our eyes right now.
Mm-hmm.
Every single day.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to find some really good news, it will tell you what's going on. Search up the name on Telegram. Amir Sarfati. A-M-I-R. Sarfati. T-S-A-R-F-A-T-I. Amir Sarfati. He is in Italy. born-again, spirit-filled, Bible-believing, demon-chasing man of God that gives up these every day. Anyways, tonight we're going to read the Word, get some more warnings, and watch God do a marvelous work. Right here, Majestic Word of God. Sister Leanne's going to begin reading. I'm not home yet, but I'll be there in a little bit.
Oh, our videos are off, yeah. All right, are you ready for me to start reading?
I'm ready.
All right.
Pray, Father,
yeah.
In the name of Jesus, have your way here with us tonight. We open up our heart, our mind, our understanding. Let by you
yes.
Your holy word tonight. We choose to see you for who you are. In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. And I did share the link to YouTube on Facebook already too. So here we go. Ezekiel 9. The wicked are slain. Then he called out in my hearing with a loud voice saying, let those who have charge over the city draw near, each with a deadly weapon in his hand. And suddenly six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his battle axe in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen and had a writer's inkhorn at his side. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar. Now the glory of the God of Israel had gone. Up from the cherub where it had been to the threshold of the temple. Hi, Dan. And he called to the man clothed with linen who had the writer's inkhorn at his side. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. Wow. To the others, he said in my hearing, go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your eyes spare nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young men, maidens and little children and women, but do not come near anyone on whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. So they began with the elders who were before the temple. Then he said to them, defile the temple and fill the courts with the slain. Go out. And they went out and killed in the city. So it was that while they were killing them, I was left alone, and I fell on my face and cried out and said, O Lord God, will you destroy all the remnant of Israel in pouring out your fury on Jerusalem? Then he said to me, the iniquity of the house of Israel in Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is full of bloodshed, and the city full of perversity. For they say, the Lord has forsaken the land, and the Lord does not see. And as for me also, my eye will neither spare nor will I have pity, but I will recompense their deeds on their own head. Is that you?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
I got another load, so.
Okay, then the man clothed with linen, who had the inkhorn at his side, reported back and said, I have done as you have commanded me. Wow. This is like the end time stuff.
Yes. Well, it has dual purpose.
Right, right.
Dual meaning.
The glory departs from the temple. This is verse 10. We don't want the glory departing from our temple because our temple is here now. And I looked, and there in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubim, there appeared something like a sapphire stone, having the appearance of the likeness of a throne. And he spoke to the man clothed with linen and said, go in among the wheels under the cherub. Fill your hands with the coals of fire from among the cherubim and scatter them over the city. And he went in as I watched. This is such a fascinating chapter or book of the Bible. Yeah. Now the cherubim were standing on the south side of the temple when the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and paused over the threshold of the temple, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. And the sound of the wings of the cherubim was heard, even in the outer court, like the voice of Almighty God when he speaks. Now it happened when he commanded the man clothed in linen, saying, take fire from among the wheels, from among the cherubim, that he went in and stood beside the wheels. And the cherub stretched out his hand from among the cherubim to the fire that was among the cherubim and took some of it and put it into the hands of the man clothed with linen, who took it out and went. The cherubim appeared to have the form of a man's hand under their wings. And when I looked, there were four wheels by the cherubim, one wheel by each cherubim and another wheel in each other cherub. The wheels appeared to have the color of a beryl stone. As for their appearance, all four looked alike, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went toward any of their four directions. They did not turn aside when they went, but followed in the direction the head was facing. They did not turn aside when they went. And their whole body, with their back, their hands, their wings, and the wheels that the four had, were full of eyes all around. As for the wheels, they were called in my hearing, wheel. Oh, let me reread that. For some reason, I had to stop and ponder that. As for the wheels, they were called in my hearing, wheel. Each one had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub. The second face, the face of a man. The third face, the face of a lion. And the fourth, the face of an eagle. And the cherubim were lifted up. This was the living creature I saw by the river Chebar. When the cherubim went, the wheels went beside them, and when the cherubim lifted their wings to mount up from the earth, the same wheels also did not turn from beside them. When the cherubim stood still, the wheels stood still, and when one was lifted up, the other lifted itself up, for the spirit of the living creature was in them. Then the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over the cherubim. And the cherubim lifted their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the wheels were beside them. And they stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house. And the glory of the Lord of Israel was above them. This is the living creature I saw under the God of Israel by the river Chebar. And I knew they were cherubim. Each one had four faces, each one four wings, and the likeness of the hands of a man was under their wings. And the likeness of their faces was the same as the faces which I had seen by the river Chebar. Their appearance and their persons, they each went straight forward. Interesting. Judgment on wicked counselors. This is chapter 11. Then the Spirit lifted me up and brought me to the east gate of the Lord's house, which faces eastward, and there at the gate of, door of the gate were 25 men among whom I saw Jezaniah, the son of Azur, and Pelatiah, the son of Benaiah, princes of the people. And he said to me, son of man, these are the men who devise iniquity and give wicked counsel in this city, who say the time is not near to build houses. This city is the cauldron, and we are the meat. Wow. Therefore, prophesy against them. Prophesy, O son of man. Then the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said to me, speak. Thus says the Lord, thus you have said, O house of Israel, for I knew the things that come into your mind. You have multiplied your slain in this city, and you have filled its streets with the slain. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, your slain whom you have laid in its midst, they are the meat, and this city is the cauldron. But I shall bring you out of the midst of it. You have feared the sword, and I will bring a sword upon you, says the Lord God. And I will bring you out of its midst and deliver you into the hands of strangers and execute judgment on you. You shall fall by the sword. I will judge you at the border of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. This city shall not be your cauldron, nor shall you be the meat in its midst. I will judge you at the border of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord, for you have not walked in my statutes, nor executed my judgments, but have done according to the customs of the Gentiles, which are all around you. Now it happened while I was prophesying that Pelatiah, the son of Benaiah, died. Then I fell on my face and cried with a loud voice and said, O Lord God, will you make a complete end of the remnant of Israel? Thank you. I have doubt there, Mountain Dew now. Yay. God will restore Israel. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, your brethren, your relatives, your kinsmen, and all the house of Israel in its entirety are those about whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, get far away from the Lord. This land has been given to us as a possession. Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, although I have cast them afar off among the Gentiles, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet I shall be a little sanctuary for them in the countries where they have gone. Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples, assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. So merciful and gracious. And they will go there, and they will take away all its detestable things and all its abominations from there. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for those whose hearts walk after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord. Then the cherubim lifted up their wings with the wheels beside them, and the glory of the God of Israel was high above them, and the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood on the mountain, which is on the east side of the city. Then the Spirit took me up and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God into Chaldea, to those in captivity. And the vision that I had seen went up from me. So I spoke to those in captivity of all the things the Lord had shown me. I was actually able to communicate with them. Judah's captivity portrayed. This is chapter 12. I apologize. I hadn't been saying the verses as I was going. I was just reading. I'll do better. Chapter 12. Huh? Yep, chapter 12.
Which book?
Ezekiel.
Where?
Ezekiel.
I was outside with a dog.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Ezekiel.
Yep, chapter 12. We're just beginning chapter 12 right now.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Welcome, everyone on YouTube. I see you Sunday. Love you. Glad you're here. All right, here we go. Chapter 12, Judah's captivity portrayed. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which has eyes to see but does not see, and ears to hear but does not hear. Thank you, Sunday and Rebecca, for putting verses in. For they are a rebellious house. Therefore, son of man, prepare your belongings for captivity and go into captivity by day in their sight. You shall go from your place into captivity to another place in their sight. It may be that they will consider though they are a rebellious house. Day by day, you shall bring out your belongings in their sight as though going into captivity. And at evening, you shall go in their sight like those who go into captivity. Verse 5, dig through the wall in their sight and carry your belongings out through it. In their sight, you shall bear them on your shoulders and carry them out at twilight. You shall cover your face so that you cannot see the ground, for I have made you a sign to the house of Israel. So I did as I was commanded. I brought out my belongings by day as though going into captivity, and at night I dug through the wall with my hand. I brought them out at twilight, and I bore them on my shoulders in their sight. And in the morning, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, has not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said to you, what are you doing? Say to them, thus says the Lord God, this burden concerns the prince in Jerusalem and all the house of Israel who are among them. Verse 11. Say, I am assigned to you. As I have done, so shall it be done to them. They shall be carried away into captivity. And the prince who is among them shall bear his belongings on his shoulder at twilight and go out. They shall dig through the wall to carry them out through it. He shall cover his face so that he cannot see the ground with his eyes. I will also spread my net over him, and he shall be caught in my snare. I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans, yet he shall not see it, though he shall die there. I will scatter to every wind all who are around him to help him and all his troops, and I will draw out the sword after them. Verse 15. Then they shall know that I am the Lord, when I scatter them among the nations and disperse them throughout the countries. But I will spare a few of their men from the sword, from famine and from pestilence, that they may declare all their abominations among the Gentiles wherever they go. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 17, judgment not postponed. So he's going to act right on it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, eat your bread with quaking and drink your water with trembling and anxiety. And say to the people of the land, thus says the Lord God to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, to the land of Israel. They shall eat their bread with anxiety and drink their water with dread, so that their land may be emptied of all who are in it, because of the violence of all those who dwell in it. Verse 20. Then the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall become desolate, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, what is this proverb that you people have about the land of Israel, which says, the days are prolonged, and every vision fails? Tell them, therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will lay this proverb to rest, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. Wow. But say to them, the days are at hand, and the fulfillment of every vision. For no more shall there be any false vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord. I speak, and the word which I speak will come to pass. It will no more be postponed. For in your days, O rebellious house, I will say the word and perform it, says the Lord God. He had been so merciful and held out for so long, and then they accused him of not seeing or not doing what he was going to say. Not anymore. Verse 26. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, look, the house of Israel is saying, the vision that he sees is for many days from now, and he prophesies of times far off. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord God, none of my words will be postponed anymore, but the word which I speak will be done, says the Lord God. We're on chapter 13 now. Woe to the foolish prophets. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy, and say to those who prophesy out of their own heart, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. They say they've had visions, yeah, and they're just making up their own thing. Oh, Israel, your prophets are like foxes in the desert. You've not gone up into the gaps to build a wall for the house of Israel to stand in battle on the day of the Lord. They have envisioned futility and false divination, saying, thus says the Lord. But the Lord has not sent them, yet they hope that the word may be confirmed. Have you not seen a futile vision and have not spoken false divination? You say, the Lord says, but I have not spoken. Verse 8. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have spoken nonsense and envisioned lies, therefore I am indeed against you, says the Lord God. My hand will be against the prophets who envision futility and who divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, nor be written in the record of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter into the land of Israel. Then you shall know I am the Lord God. Verse 10, because they have seduced my people, saying peace when there is no peace, and one builds a boundary wall, and they plaster it with untempered mortar, and say to those who plaster it with untempered mortar that it will fall. There will be flooding rain, and you, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall tear it down. Surely when the wall has fallen, will it not be said to you, where is the mortar with which you plastered it? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will cause a stormy wind to break forth in my fury, and there shall be a flooding rain in my anger, and great hailstones in fury to consume it. So I will break down the wall you have plastered with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground so that its foundation will be uncovered. It will fall, and you will be consumed in the midst of it. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. 15, verse 15. Thus will I accomplish my wrath on the wall and on those who have plastered it with untempered mortar. And I will say to you, the wall is no more, nor those who plastered it. That is the prophets of Israel who prophesy concerning Jerusalem and who see visions of peace for her when there is no peace, says the Lord God. Likewise, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who prophesy out of their own heart. Prophesy against them and say, thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who sew magic charms on their sleeves and make veils for the heads of the people of every height to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people and keep yourselves alive? And will you profane me among my people? For handfuls of barley and for a piece of bread, killing people who should not die and keeping people alive who should not live by your lying to my people who listen to lies. Wow. Wow. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Yeah. And all because he had given them so much grace and mercy and was trying to give them time. And then they just accused him of not being part of it and started doing their own thing. And just making stuff up. It's like, wow, do not say the Lord said it if he didn't say it. Anyways, verse 20. Therefore, thus says the Lord. We are in chapter 13, verse 20. Therefore, thus says the Lord God. Behold, I am against your magic charms by which you hunt souls. They're like birds. I will tear them from your arms and let the souls go, the souls you hunt like birds. I will also tear off your veils and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall no longer be as prey in your hand. Then you shall know I am the Lord, because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad. And you have strengthened the hands of the wicked so that he does not turn from his wicked way to save his life. Wow. Therefore, you shall no longer envision futility nor practice divination, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. He is not messing around anymore. Not that he ever was, but he's after him now. Chapter 14, idolatry will be punished. Now some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of men, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, every one of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols. Verse 5. That I may seize the house of Israel by their heart, because they are all estranged from me by their idols. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent, turn away from your idols, and turn your faces away from all your abominations. For anyone of the house of Israel or of the strangers who sojourn in Israel, who separates himself from me, and sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, then comes to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him myself. Verse 8. I will set my face against that man and make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet is induced to speak anything, I, the Lord, have... And in entereth pastor. Yeah. Verse 9, let's start that again. And if the prophet is induced to speak anything, I, the Lord, have induced that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand against him and destroy him from among my people. And they shall bear their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be the same as the punishment of the one who inquired. Wow. That the house of Israel may no longer stray from me, nor be profaned anymore with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people and I may be their God, says the Lord God. Judgment on persistent unfaithfulness.
It's one thing to be unfaithful, but to be persistently unfaithful.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. And he gives them chance after chance, and they continue to... Verse 12, the word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off its supply of bread, send famine on it, and cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they would deliver only them. Oh, only themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord God. If I cause wild beasts to pass through the land and they empty it and make it so desolate that no man may pass through because of the beasts, even though these three men were in it, as I live, says the Lord, they would deliver neither sons nor daughters, only they would be delivered and the land would be desolate. Or if I bring a sword on that land and say, sword, go through the land, and I cut off man and beast from it, even though these three men were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither sons nor daughters, but only themselves would be delivered. Or if I send a pestilence into that land and pour out my fury on it in blood and cut off from it man and beast, even though Noah and Daniel and Job were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither son nor daughter.
You know, if you've never read the book of Ezekiel, this would be really interesting. But if you have read it, it's like really interesting.
Yeah.
Because there's such a different dynamic when you read it out loud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there really is. There really is.
Your mind has to be focused to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, because of it, you get more.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody pay attention.
Verse 20. I'm going to read verse 20 again.
All right.
Even though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither son nor daughter. They would deliver only themselves by their righteousness. For thus says the Lord God, how much more it shall be when I send my four severe judgments on Jerusalem, the sword and the famine and wild beast and pestilence, to cut off man and beast from it. Yet behold, there shall be left in it a remnant who will be brought out, both sons and daughters. Surely they will come out to you, and you will see their ways and their doings. then you will be comforted concerning the disaster that I have brought upon Jerusalem, indeed, all that I have brought upon it. And they will comfort you when you see their ways and their doings, and you shall know that I have done nothing without cause, that I have done it, says the Lord God. That he has done it.
He has done it.
Do you want me to read 15 too? Or do you want to read 15?
No. Go ahead. You're doing good.
The outcast vine. This is chapter 15. Ezekiel 15.
Oh, we're doing really good. We might get all the way caught up. You know, I do have something to say. There's a lot of imagery in this. There's a lot of visions and dreams. And I mean, what we're seeing Ezekiel see, we're now going to then go into Daniel.
Do you want to undo your video?
I don't have anything up yet.
Oh, okay.
Then we're going to see Daniel. And Daniel has dreams and visions and is interpreting. And God is speaking very loud to his people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had Ezekiel bread for 369 days and lay on his right side. This is some serious stuff. And then a wheel and a wheel. Many people believe that's UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right
in
the Bible.
Yeah.
But I don't espouse that belief necessarily. But that's the power of what we're doing. The majestic word of God. Mm-hmm. It really is the power of it. And hopefully you're following along with your Bible open, circling and underlining right while we're going through it. That's the best way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Go.
Chapter 15.
Chapter 15.
Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, how is the wood of the vine better than any other wood? The vine branch, which is among the trees of the forest. Is wood taken from it to make any object?
Hold on.
Oh, that's you? Or can man make a peg?
You're supposed to say, hit the button.
It takes us a minute once we get into the same room again to figure out our sound. Okay. Verse 3 again. Is wood taken from it to make any object? Or can men make a peg from it to hang any vessel on? Instead, it is thrown into the fire for fuel. The fire devours both ends of it, and its middle is burned. Is it useful for any work? Indeed, when it was whole, no object could be made from it. How much less will it be useful for any work when the fire has devoured it, and it is burned? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, like the wood of the vine among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so I will give up the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will set my face against them. Then they will go out from one fire, but another fire shall devour them. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I set my face against them. Thus I will make the land desolate because they have persisted in unfaithfulness. They've persisted in unfaithfulness, says the Lord God. There was the end of chapter 15.
And that was our verses for today.
That was our verses for today.
Wow. That was good. You did a good job. You don't preach enough, though.
This is read the word.
Oh, read the word. All right. So, can you see me?
I don't see you.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can everyone else hear Pastor? Can anyone else see him?
I can see him and I can hear him. Now,
oh, you can?
People are like, man, this guy is really insecure. What's his problem? No, I'm not insecure. I just, anyways. So
I don't see you, but I may be on a wrong screen or something.
You're probably on the wrong screen. Anyways, Rebecca can see me, and that's the only thing that matters. Anyway, when you think about this, well, let's just do it the other way. You mute, and I'll open up. There. That better? Now you should be able to see me. But I'm not insecure. No, you just all of a sudden you realize God's overwhelming mercy.
Mm-hmm.
My. If you wonder if God will have mercy on you, wait, if you're a believer and you're still wondering if God will have mercy on you, you have not read the whole Bible out loud.
Yeah.
Because from the children of Israel coming out of Egypt and they saw 10 plagues and then they plundered Egypt, got 400 years of back wages, literally in gold, silver, and precious stones and clothes. In one night, and yet went out and started griping and complaining and speaking against God and speaking against Moses. And yet in the middle of it all, God still loves you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the more mercy he showed them, the more they accused him of not caring and saying that their sin didn't matter. Mm-hmm. And that's what bugs me even in this time. God shows us so much mercy, and then when things happen, he gets accused of all of these wrong things that weren't him. Like we were talking the other day about all of these, you know, natural disasters, and they say this is an act of God. Well, it is not an act of God. And when people get sick and they say, well, God gave me this illness for this reason, he did not do that. Quit accusing our good God of doing those things. That's the same thing they were doing then.
No, you just heard Ezekiel say that God was going to, what do you say, cast hailstones on them or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. So God has used weather at times before.
Yeah, but not until they brought him to this point of I'm done.
Exactly. And as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's removed our transgressions from us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they're removed, then what's left if they're removed? The relevation, where you get real relevant, where the revelation comes so you can get the relevation, is are you going to believe the Bible or are you going to believe what religion has always taught us?
Oh, my goodness.
Because the more religion that was easy to say. The more religion you live by, the less faith you'll actually have. I think I just want to talk and eat a fudge bar. Did you just want?
Well, all right.
Yeah. Now, last night I was reaching somebody. Hopefully you're back tonight with us. And you will receive the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I didn't receive any emails from anybody last night. And I should have received a bunch. from how many people were here. But this is the important part of it. You've got to get this reality, the reality of righteousness. And very few times on the program have we instructed everybody to go get a fudge bar and eat a fudge bar with us.
If you have ice cream in your house.
Especially right in the middle of the book of Ezekiel where there's hellfire and brimstone. But it's been a long, hot day. I want a fudge bar. God is abounding in mercy.
Yeah.
Psalm 103 says it's taller than the mountains. I don't remember who it was, but somebody said, whoops, no transcript. Somebody said once, when you're having those nights that you just barely feel like you're making it through, all you got to do is make the dawn. Why? Because his mercy is new every morning. That's out of the Lamentations of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a pretty dark book.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah had a pretty serious assignment in God. And yet, in Jeremiah chapter 29, what does he say? I know the thoughts I have toward you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. And then two verses later he says, but if you don't listen to me, you'll be devoured by the sword. And God, we're never devoured by what the devil does to us. In God, we're devoured by what we say and how we live and how we do it. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. I'm going to eat the whole box of fudge bars tonight.
All right. Go for it.
It was a 95 degree hot day today.
99. The last time I looked when I was in the car, it was 99.
It's going to be interesting now to see who reads, whether it's Sister Leanne or me. It looks like she's going to be done first.
I was eating and not talking. That's why.
Thank God for his mercy. Thank you, Father, for your mercy.
Kathy, this is the second time I see you eating ice cream. Hi, Kathy. Glad you're here. We love you.
Kathy, it's likely to be five times in one night you're going to see it.
At least he's not doing shots. Oh, my. Okay, do you want me to read? Or are you still
actually
talking?
I think
all right.
That was a good fudge bar.
They are good.
You did a good job of making those fudge bars.
Thank you. It's an old family recipe.
Here we go. Where was you at?
Chapter 16.
Oh, wait. Do we know how far we're going?
I will look.
Did I send you the list? Mm-hmm. Right. Chapter 16. Oh, this is awesome. God's love.
You sound better now.
Jerusalem.
Dan says it.
Thank you, Dan. I feel better now. Two pork steaks, big old beef. Now I've got a fudge bar. In a tall glass of Dr. Pepper. I do not recommend that as a dietary process, however.
It sure is good, huh?
After a long day out in the wilderness.
16 and 17 is the next day.
16 and 17, all right.
Yeah. And then 18 and 19 and 20 and 12, that'll probably be longer.
All right, so we're going to go from 16 to 20. Look at the clock.
21. Yeah. If you're going to
do any preaching then.
If you're going to do the next 3 days, yes, 16 to 21.
All right, we're going to get it done. Does anybody know where all the participants are at? There they are. I'm ready. God's love for Jerusalem. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. And say, thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, your birth and your nativity are from the land of Canaan. Your father was an Amorite and your mother a Hittite. Abraham and Sarah. That's an interesting statement. As for your nativity on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed in water, cleansing. You were not rubbed with salt, nor wrapped in swaddling clothes. Somebody figure out what rubbing with salt is.
Yeah.
No, I pitied you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on me. But you were thrown out into the open field when you yourself were loathed on the day you were born. When I passed by you and saw you struggling in your own blood, I said to you, in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you, in your blood, live. I made you thrive like a plant in the field, and you grew, matured, and became very beautiful. Your breasts were formed, your hair grew, but you were naked and bare. This is God speaking of Israel. When I passed by you again and looked upon you, indeed your time was the time of love. So I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine, says the Lord God. Then I washed you in water. Yes, I thoroughly washed off your blood, and I anointed you with oil. I clothed you in an embroidered cloth and gave you sandals of badger skin. I clothed you with fine linen and covered you with silk. I adorned you with ornaments, put bracelets on your wrists and a chain on your neck. How do you say God is against that stuff? You can't. You were adorned with gold and silver. Your clothing was of fine linen, silk, and embroidered cloth. You ate pastry of fine flour, honey, and oil. You were exceedingly beautiful and succeeded to royalty. Your fame went out among the nations because of your beauty, for it was perfect through my splendor, which I had bestowed on you, says the Lord God. Wow. But you trusted in your own beauty, played the harlot because of your fame, poured out your harlotry on everyone passing by who would have it. You took some of your garments and adorned multicolored high places for yourself and played the harlot on them. Such things should not happen, nor should they be. You've taken your beautiful jewelry from my gold and my silver, which I had given you, and made for yourself male images and played the harlot with them.
Wow.
This is a messed up people. You took your embroidered garments and covered them, and you set my oil and my incense before them. food which I gave you, the pastry of fine flour, oil, and honey, which I fed you. You set it before them as sweet incense, and so it was, says the Lord God. You took your sons and your daughters, who you bore to me, and these you sacrificed to them to be devoured. Were your acts of harlotry a small matter?
No, they were pretty big.
Pretty seriously big matter. I'm going to underline that statement. Were your acts of harlotry a small matter, that you have slain my children and offered them up to them by causing them to pass through the fire? Molech was a big machine and it was filled with fire, and they would put their children on his arms, and the arms would come up and crush the children and dump them into the fire. That was their offering to the god Molech, their own children.
I just... Can you even fathom that, hearing your baby screaming while you're and thinking that this is a good God? Oh, yeah.
22, and all your abomination and acts of harlotry, you did not remember the days of your youth, when you were naked and bare and struggling in your blood. Then it was so after all your wickedness. Woe, woe to you, says the Lord God, that you also built for yourself a shrine and made a high place for yourself in every street. You built your high places at the head of every road and made your beauty to be abhorred. You offered yourself to everyone who passed by and multiplied your acts of harlotry. Not only did the people actually commit sexual fornication, but God is specifically speaking of spiritual adultery, chasing other gods.
Yeah, he kept saying in their hearts, their idols in their hearts.
26, you also committed a harlotry with the Egyptians, your fleshly neighbors, and increased your acts of harlotry to provoke me to anger. Behold, therefore, I stretched out my hand against you, diminished your allotment, gave you up to the will of those who hate you, the daughters of the Philistines who were ashamed of your lewd behavior. The Philistines were ashamed of their lewd behavior.
Yeah.
The wicked ones that God said to destroy. I just got to underline it. When the world is more ashamed of our behavior than we are, woe to you. You also played the harlot with the Assyrians because you were insatiable. Indeed, you played the harlot with them and still were not satisfied. Moreover, you multiplied your acts of harlotry as far as the land of the traitor, Chaldea. And even then you were not satisfied. How degenerate is your heart? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Verse 30, how degenerate is your heart, says the Lord God, seeing you do all these things, the deeds of a brazen harlot. You erected your shrine at the head of every road and built your high place in every street. You were not like a harlot because you scorned payment. Wow. Just a whore.
Yeah.
That's why God said you have gone whoring after other gods.
And somehow made it right in their minds if they didn't receive payment for it, that it wasn't as bad.
32. You are an adulterous wife who takes strangers instead of her husband. Men make payment to all harlots, but you made your payments to all your lovers and hired them to come to you from all around for your harlotry. You are the opposite of other women in your harlotry, because no one solicited you to be a harlot, in that you gave payment, but no payment was given you. Therefore, you are the opposite. I just did not remember those verses being in the Bible. But you know what? You can't take them out of the Bible. This is Jerusalem's lovers will abuse her. Now then, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because your filthiness was poured out and your nakedness uncovered, and your harlotry with lovers, and with all your abominable idols, and because of the blood of your children which you have given to them. Surely, therefore, I will gather all your lovers with whom you took pleasure, all those you loved and all those you hated. I'll gather them from all around against you, and I will uncover your nakedness to them, that they may see all your nakedness. I will judge you as woman who break wedlock or shed blood are judged. I will bring blood upon you in fury and in jealousy. I will also give you into their hand, and they shall throw down your shrines and break down your high places. They shall also strip you of your clothes, take your beautiful jewelry, and leave you naked and bare. Literally, many of them were marched all the way to Babylon naked, and they were marched naked through the streets when they got there. They also shall bring up an assembly against you. They shall stone you with stones and thrust you through with swords. They shall burn your houses with fire and execute judgments on you in the sight of many women. And I will make you cease playing the harlot, and you shall no longer hire lovers. I will lay to rest my fury toward you.
Verse 42.
Thank you for the verse of tears. I will lay rest to my fury toward you, and my jealousy shall depart from you. I will be quiet and be angry no more. Good example to a lot of people who have marriage problems.
Yeah. Lay rest my fury toward you. Yeah.
How do you get all this? The Holy Spirit gives it to me. Think about it. My fury toward you, my jealousy shall depart from you. I will be quiet and be angry no more. God made up his mind, I'm not going to be angry anymore. Well, he will, not right then. But. Verse 43, because you did not remember the days of your youth, but agitated me with all these things. Surely I will recompense your deeds on your own head, says the Lord God. You shall commit lewdness in addition to all your abominations. We're not even done with this chapter, and it just makes you want to just pause for a minute. I don't know if you can say Selah or 44. Indeed, everyone who quotes Proverbs will use this proverb against you, like mother, like daughter.
Wow. And they still say those words. Like father, like son, yeah.
You are your mother's daughter. Loathing husband and children, and you are the sister of your sisters who loathe their husbands and your children. Your mother was a Hittite and your father an Amorite. Your elder sister is Samaria, who deals with her daughters to the north of you. and your younger sister who dwells in the south of you is Sodom and her daughters. You did not walk in their ways, nor act according to their abominations, but as if that were too little, you became more corrupt than they in all your ways.
Wow.
You do not want God to say you're more corrupt than Sodom and Gomorrah. As I live, says the Lord God, neither your sister Sodom nor her daughters have done as you. Your daughters have done as you and your daughters have done. Look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. Now, there are some very important words right there.
Yes, there are.
She had pride, fullness of food, and abundance of idleness.
She needed something to do.
And she did not strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, which
yes,
is what you needed
not.
Something to do. Go take care of them.
Yes. Yep, had plenty.
And they were
time.
Haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw fit. Samaria did not commit half of your sins, but you have multiplied your abominations more than they, and have justified your sisters by all the abominations which you have done. You were judged. You who judged your sisters, bear your own shame also, because the sins which you committed were abominable, more abominable than theirs. They are more righteous than you. Yes, be disgraced also, and bear your own shame, because you justified your sisters.
Wow.
That you may bear your own shame and be disgraced by all that you did when you comforted them. When your sisters, Sodom and her daughters, returned to their former state, and Samaria and her daughters returned to their former state, then you and your daughters will return to your former state. For your sister Sodom was not a byword in your mouth in the days of your pride. Before your wickedness was uncovered, it was like the time of reproach of the daughters of Syria and all those around her, of the daughters of the Philistines who despise you everywhere. You have paid for your lewdness and your abomination, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord God, I will deal with you as you have done, who despise the oath by breaking covenant. An everlasting covenant between us. Nevertheless, verse 60, yes, thank you. Nevertheless, you ever take that part? Never go with the less.
Oh.
I will remember my covenant with you in the days of your youth. I will establish as an everlasting covenant with you. You will remember, there's a good word for you, your ways and be ashamed when you receive your older and younger sisters, for I will give them to you for daughters, but not because of my covenant with you. And I will establish my covenant with you. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, that you may remember and be ashamed. And never open your mouth anymore because of your shame. When I provide you an atonement for all you have done, says the Lord God. Say this with me. Jesus, you are my atonement.
Jesus, you are my atonement. Amen.
What's atonement mean? At one minute. Atonement. You are made one with the Father. And the atonement actually has reconciliation and redemption that goes along with it, justification. 17? Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What time is it? 8:51. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, pose a riddle. Speak a parable to the house of Israel. And say, thus says the Lord God, a great eagle with large wings and long pinions, full of feathers of various colors, came to Lebanon and took from the cedar the highest branch. He cropped off its topmost young twig, carried it to a land of trade. He set it in a city of merchants. Then he took some of the seed of the land and planted it in a fertile field, placed it by abundant waters, and set it like a willow tree. The eagle did this. A great eagle, the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 5, he took some of the seed of the land and planted it in a fertile field. He placed it by abundant waters and set it like a willow tree. It grew and became a spreading vine of low stature. Its branches turned toward him, but its roots were under him. So it became a vine, brought forth branches, and put forth shoots. There was another great eagle with large wings and many feathers. And behold, this vine bent its roots toward him and stretched its branches toward him from the garden terrace where it had been planted, that he might water it, planted in good soil by many waters, to bring forth branches, bear fruit, and become a majestic vine. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. God rewards all spiritual growth with pruning. God rewards all spiritual growth with pruning. Why? Because when he prunes us, that is when we grow better. Some of you have been resisting the pruning.
And it's actually a good thing.
Resisting the pruning is a good thing?
No, the pruning is actually a good thing, and people resist it because we think it's...
Yeah. She starts saying, I'm passing this test with flying colors.
Amen.
We say it all the time. Verse 6, it grew and became a spreading vine of low stature. Its branches turned toward him, but its roots were under him. So it became a vine, brought forth branches, and put forth shoots. 7, there was another great eagle with large wings and many feathers. And behold, this vine bent its roots toward him, stretched its branches toward him from the garden terrace where it had been planted, that he might water it. It was planted in good soil by many waters to bring forth branches, bear fruit, and become a majestic vine. 9, thus says the Lord God, will it thrive? Will he not pull up its roots, cut off its fruit, and leave it to wither? All of its spring leaves will wither, and no great power for many people will be needed to pluck it up by its roots. Behold, it is planted. Will it thrive? Will it not utterly wither when the east wind touches it? It will wither in the garden terrace where it grew. Wow. Verse 11. There's a whole lot of preaching right there. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, say now to the rebellious house, do you not know what these things mean? Tell them. Indeed, the king of Babylon went to Jerusalem and took its king and princes and led them with him to Babylon. He took the king's offspring, made a covenant with him, and put him under oath. He also took away the mighty of the land, and the kingdom might, that the kingdom might be brought low and not lift itself up. But that by keeping his covenant, it might stand. But he rebelled against him by sending his ambassadors to Egypt, that they might give him horses and many people. Will he prosper? Will he who does such things escape? Can he break a covenant and still be delivered? As I live, says the Lord God. Now, this is God talking right here. Pretty bold. Surely in the place where the king dwells, who made him king, whose oath he despised, and whose covenant he broke with him in the middle of Babylon, he shall die. Nor will Pharaoh with his mighty army and great company do anything in the war. When they heap up a siege mound and build a wall to cut off many persons, since he despised the youth by breaking the covenant, and in fact gave his land and still did all these things, he shall not escape. Therefore, says the Lord God, as I live, surely my oath, which he despised, and my covenant, which he broke, I will recompense on his own head. You're never going to pay a penalty for somebody else's sin.
Right.
Only when you pay is for your own. 20, I'll spread my net over him, and he shall be taken in my snare. I will bring him to Babylon and try him there for the treason which he committed against me. And all his fugitives with all his troops shall fall by the sword, and those who remain shall be scattered to every wind. And you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken. 23. Thus says the Lord God, I will also take one of the highest branches of the high cedar and set it out. I will crop off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and will plant it in a high place and prominent mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel, I will plant it, and it will bring forth boughs, bear fruit, and be a majestic cedar. Till it will, and under it will dwell birds of every sort in the shadow of its branches. Then they will dwell in the house of the Lord ever and ever. All the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree, exalted the low tree, dried up the green tree, and made the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and have surely done it. Before the foundation of the world, it was all set up. Well, is that a day, those two chapters? Should be.
Yeah. Let's see.
Read the word. We always have circle the wagons. Don't do what these wicked people did. Don't lie against the truth. Don't lie against God. And don't play the harlot in any part of your life.
And if you're doing something wrong, stop it. Don't keep doing the same thing.
And if you're doing something wrong, you've got to come and say, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I've tried to beat this my whole life, and now you're telling me there's another way to beat it. There is. But it ain't your own strength.
Yeah.
Because Paul said, let's try it again. Because Paul said, I must be sleepy. Because Paul said, oh, that's what he said. Good that of what I don't do, that which is evil I do. who will deliver me from this body of death? And then he gives you an answer in the next verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. Can I get an amen?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Well,
praise the Lord.
It's almost... Not on this day. This day only had two chapters. The great amen, the great word of God, and the great chapters. Now, let's circle the wagons a little bit. God was laying out very specifically for Joshua from the children of Israel what to do. And he wasn't hiding it from us. That is not his plan to hide it from us, ever. He wants you to have the revelation, and then he wants you to live in the power of that revelation every single day in Jesus. I'm going to fall asleep if I don't start doing communion or have you do it.
Can we look at this? Yeah. Okay. We have to change the date.
So. Oh, she was hitting me with something? No, she don't do that. So, in all of it, we have the promise in Ezekiel. I will take out of you a heart of stone. I will put you in a heart of the joy of the Lord. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the book of Ezekiel. Thank you that you gave us this assignment the first of the year. We feel like the Apostle Paul. There's a great door and effectual that is open to us, but there's a persecution. And we charge you guilty, Aaron. We charge you guilty. And seven times that you would normally have to pay for us. And then double for the same. We speak this right now in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Love, I'm going to have you read because...
What did we do up to 19? Okay.
Yeah. Because when I start reading, I'm falling asleep.
Would you like me to read to you?
Most certainly.
Okay.
Now, this is the communion verses.
On the same time, train the prayer. And we can do the same thing broken and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. This is in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament and the New Covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.
As often as we do it.
Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. 18 through 19, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world.
Amen.
There is fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because the first loved us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I know that there'll be people, I can tell tonight there's people saying, why do you want to have boldness in the day of judgment? Because I'm going to be bold as a lion of the tribe of Judah every day I live. And I'm reminded the story of Dr. Summerall when he first got started preaching. Of course, he said, you know, he hated people and he hated church. And he hated preachers. But God called him to be a preacher. He said to the woman of the house, we know you. I forget what they were looking for. Something. No, and they were in the church. He's preaching. The young lady's down there in the front row. And he gets the altar call and she goes forward. And her two brothers in the back started yelling at her, saying, you know, our parents said, don't come down here to these meetings, and you came down anywhere, then you're going to be in trouble, your ma and your pa. And Dr. Summerall said, you better get out of my meeting. I'll call the fire of God down upon you. And they didn't leave. Church building was full that night. Amen. Now, those of you that just prayed the prayer of salvation, I'm not calling down fire out of heaven on anybody.
We didn't pray the prayer of salvation yet.
Oh, we didn't?
No. No, Phyllis just read the verses.
Let's pray the prayer of salvation. We want everybody right with God. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life. And I will not perish.
And I thank you for it.
I thank you for
Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day. I
pray this in Jesus'
name. I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. Now, for those of you who just prayed the prayer, the experience that you're experiencing is God just filled you. Can you imagine how many times in our lives we heard somebody say, Just ask Jesus to come in. That's all you got to do. Or, which is true, that is a true statement. Ask, just walk down the aisle and shake the preacher's hand. I've never figured out where that was at in the Bible. Many people say, well, Paul gave him the right hand of fellowship, but no. No, you just received God Almighty.
Yes.
And he just filled your whole being.
Amen.
Well, that ought to make you feel like getting up and running around the house or something. Mm. Even if you're a stoic, you should at least like grunt or something. Mm. No. Because it's God has just filled you. The author and finisher of faith, Jesus, the light of the world, mercy, grace, love, peace. That's who Jesus is. That just came into you. Jeremiah and Ezekiel both have said, I will not take my spirit from you. That's Old Testament people, 550 years before Pentecost. God was serious about taking care of us.
Yeah.
We welcome you into the kingdom. Please, my email address is right down there in the notes. hcpreacherman@gmail.com. Send me an email and say, hey, Pastor, I just prayed the prayer. Or, hey, Pastor, I've been a Christian for 20 years, but I want to learn what you know. We'll start feeding you with the videos that are just transforming. In Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus' mighty name.
I keep getting the signal and I got to go. Pray to lift. Whoa.
Lift up your elements.
Here we go. Let's bless our elements. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And my spirit in my soul and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
From your broken body.
From your broken body.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
Right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
We pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
We pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's receive this broken body. Thank you, Jesus. Even though you were despised and rejected, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, that you gave us everything in your will for our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, lift up the cup of blessing. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin is placed in remission.
Every sin is placed in remission.
In my life forever.
In my life forever.
Isn't that a wonderful thought? I'm putting this down for a story. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed away.
And everything about me is made brand new.
And everything about me is made brand new.
You want to say it? That old man just died.
That old man just died.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and
where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus
by
and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
I overcome every enemy.
I overcome every enemy.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The accuser of the brethren is cast down forever.
The accuser of the brethren is cast down forever.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over.
by the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over.
Cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
You want to just say it with me? I'm standing in the gap.
I'm standing in the gap.
Got to come through me first. My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's receive this.
We thank you, Lord.
Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's sing our song. The blood that Jesus shed for me, way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest. Oh, it's barely the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power.
Good word tonight. Thank you.
Good word tonight. Not a lot of good words in the middle of that good word. So when we
thank
reach
five you,
chapters,
Father, for your word. No, ten.
Ten.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. We should be just about caught up. You reckon?
I'll figure it out.
We
not
will
right
reckon
now.
Because we'll make a reckoning.
Amen.
Well, Sister Phyllis, are you still with us? I'm going to read June 20 through 25. She's probably got a bunk of biker there.
Yeah. Jude. All right. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Well, it's early, but it's got to be. The less I move,
the more you're ready to fall over.
We heard somebody talking in the background, so we didn't know what they were saying, but we just muted it.
Oh, well, it was just
a
7-year-old.
It was overriding our microphone, that's all.
We say 7-year-old be made whole.
That's okay.
In the mighty name of Jesus, this 7-year-old. be made whole now.
Pastor Sam, you need a nap.
He needs
a whole night of sleep. Sunday.
I need a whole night's sleep.
Yeah. Amen. So let's go do that.
I got an amazing testimony because my power steering went out on my semi today. Well, the last couple of days it's been going out. And they told me that all they had to do is they changed the filter. Did you know your power steering unit has a filter on the inside?
I didn't.
I did not either. I mean, this thing's got a filter. It probably is this tall and that big around.
Wow.
So my good old buddy Joe shows up, pops it in, he opens it up, and bam, he's got in. I'm like, hallelujah, that was a quick fix. I'm like, Joe, fix everything that way from now on, you know? And it doesn't work. Like, it doesn't work. Like, I'm now sitting, 32 miles away from home on this site, and I'm going to have to sit there till Joe comes back. And I'm like, Jesus. And then I called the end, I'm like, come get me. And he told me I had to move so I wasn't blocking the disposal. And I started that thing up, and it just started working. And I called Joe, I'm like, hey Joe, it's working. He's like, it can't be working. I'm like, I'm driving, I'm doing figure eights around the disposal. He goes, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. He goes, how did it just start working? I'm like, well, I don't know, but, you know, prayer helps.
Yeah.
He calls the boss. The boss says, it ain't working. He goes, it is. I took off and went and hauled another load. See, that's a miracle.
Yeah.
That's a miracle. And you and I got to make sure we tell these miracles.
Yes.
And then live in it. All right. I'm going to keep talking until I'm just like.
Yeah. Until you fall over.
So, put your hands up. Say it with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I give my time, my talent, and my treasure.
I give my time, my talent, and my treasure.
And I sow it into the kingdom of God.
And I sow it into the kingdom of God.
And to every person that we will reach today.
And to every person we reach today.
And every day in the future.
And every day in the future.
I receive the 100-fold returns.
I receive the 100-fold returns.
That you have for my life.
That you have for my life.
Because I'm doing the work you give us to do.
Because I'm doing the work you give us to do.
I don't want any harvest of mine.
I don't want any harvest of mine.
In heaven.
In heaven.
I want it all working on earth.
Amen. I want it all working on earth.
In Jesus' mighty name. See, the Apostle Paul said, Paul said, I desire fruit that will abound to your account. Well, where's the account? It's heaven. But that account in heaven is designed for you to get the benefit of on this earth. And Jesus said, he who reaps souls receives wages. Like literally money, God will pay you. And so I always want to say that first. Why? Because you gave your time, your talent, and your treasure, some of you tonight. And it's a blessing to us in Jesus' name. All right.
Hallelujah. Francetta had her doctor's appointment today. Her heart is perfect. She doesn't need to go back to the doctor till next year. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord.
Brother Roger, are you still with us? You want 4 more hours? All right. This is what it'll look like. They call it resting on the word. It's been a good day. It's been a really good day.
Yeah.
God really helped me today.
He did. Right.
First thing he did is he helped me get my attitude right. I got to tell you another story. I get to the truck stop, and I have a tire that's low. But I have a tire that's continually going low.
And the boss has told me, at Lowe's, go into the tire shop and get it fixed. But that takes 45 more minutes. And when I got high water, I got to get out there. So I go inside, I pick up my fuel receipt, I fill my jug up with ice, and the tire lady's there. There's a lady who runs the tire shop.
Right.
From Alpena, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, am I fixing your tire today? I'm like, nah, I got to go. She's like, you need air? I'm like, yeah. So we go out there. She said something to me. And I started complaining. And I said to her, right out loud, I mean, we heard what God said to Ezekiel last night. I'll hold their blood on your hands if you don't speak right. No. I started complaining. I said, you know what I hate really bad in life? She goes, what? I said, I hate it when I complain about where I'm at and what's going on. She goes, I hate it too, so stop it.
So, there you go.
We get all done putting the tires up. As I'm getting in the truck, she says, and stop your complaining. Oh, and have a good day. Thanks a lot, Gwen. Thank you. So that's the greatest thing that happened today. I just quit complaining.
There you go. The gripers get the vipers. So stop it.
And get them vipers.
Amen.
Till we see you again. This is what we say. I made it all the way to the end and only fell asleep about 3 times. Amen. He really does love you. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And he shall reign forever and ever. And he shall reign forever.
Good night, Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for being with us.
Sure do love you guys.